for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, March 30, 2013, Kyle Neese is the speaker of the service teaching on Awaken the Dawn and Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I'll worship His holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I will worship Your holy name. Bless You, Lord. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing of Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Sing, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I'll worship His holy name. Sing like never before, yes, oh my soul, I will worship Your holy name. You're rich in love, You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for this heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, I'll worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I will worship Your holy name. Yes, on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, my soul will sing of Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, I'll worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I will worship Your holy name. Bless You, Lord. I will worship Your holy name. Sing it out loud. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. I'll worship His holy name. And sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I will worship His holy name. I will worship His holy name.
I worship Your holy name.
I will worship Your holy name. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, and worship His holy name, and sing like never before, oh my soul, I will worship Your holy name, I will worship Your holy name.
We thank You for the privilege of the place, Lord, that You draw our hearts to. We thank You for the stillness, Lord, that somehow, Lord, if we get still, You can speak to our hearts. And we bless You, Lord. Worthy is Your name. Patty said, she said, escaped. Like a bird, we escaped. You know, this message is about escape, in a sense. It's escape. Escape from yourself. You know, escape from yourself. I'm thankful for Frank. I don't know if he's here, but I'm thankful for him. You know, I think, well, you know, I just kind of, you know, being around him just kind of gets you excited, you know. But you know, that's, you know, what he said probably was a good, he said, lighten up. You know, he said, lighten up. That's probably a good word, you know, for a guy like me, lighten up. But in some sense, I don't think he's saying don't take God's word serious. I know he's not saying that. But lighten up. Get over yourself. Get over yourself and get into God, and that God might fill you and me up, that we could lighten up. You know, get a tambourine. You know, let's lighten up. I think that's the message. Get a tambourine and let's lighten up. Let's awaken the dawn. That thought came to me a few weeks back. It was like, God, I don't know if I cannot remember if I sometimes often when I wake up, it's like right, I wake up, maybe a thought comes to my mind. I don't know if it was one of those moments or, but it's like this thought came to my mind, I will awaken the dawn. I thought, David said that, didn't he? And I was curious to want to go dig that out and say, God, what are You trying to say? I think there's something God's wanting to say to you and me by through that word, that phrase, awaken the dawn. I mean, I'm gonna get the lyre, the tambourine. I'm gonna make some noise, is what David's saying. I'm gonna awaken the dawn. I'm gonna lighten up, in a sense. I'm gonna lighten my load and who I am and my self thing that God wants to remove from me, all of the trappings of self that He might infuse me with His power, that He might do something in my life, that I could get over myself and be somebody by His glory. You know, people, the world, God made us with purpose, but God doesn't need what we can. He doesn't need what we can do. He doesn't need what we can do. He just needs a vessel that He can do it through. You know what I'm saying? Because if His power doesn't touch somebody, well, you know what I mean? Charisma goes so far. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I think, you know, I think Frank was born happy. I don't know if he's here, but I think he must have been born happy. I know he's born again happy for sure. God changed his life. I'm thankful for that testimony that's just, you know, vibrant testimony of just going on with God, not sitting around waiting. That was a good word that he shared with me. But I want to, if you will, turn in your Bible to Psalm 108. I want to share some things with you. Really those, namely those two statements, two places where David says, I will awaken the dawn. But I want to begin reading. Actually, before we get there, I want you to turn back to where you were last night. It was a good word that Frank, and I may mention that because I'm taking notes. It's been a great blessing for me just to take in the different ones that are sharing. It really is. I mean, it's a place where I get someone pouring into me, and I'm blessed by that. I'm blessed by the word that he shared. What was the word last night? God has what? Can you say it? One word. What does God have for you? Benefits. God has benefits for you according to this word. Praise God, He's got benefits. The message yesterday was God has benefits. The message today is that God don't want you to forget those benefits. Is that right? It was on the benefits last night. This morning, it's on not forgetting. God says, don't forget. Let read it with me just a minute. It's in begin reading Psalm 103, verse 2, I believe. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We sang that, didn't we? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Don't forget His benefits. He wants to revive us when we praise Him. He says, don't forget my benefits. You know, I have a word. It's a word for you. It's a word for me. Look at verse 19. Really going back up to verse 18. Psalm 103, 18. He says, to those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts to do them. They keep it and they remember. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens and His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all. Say that word with me. You. All you. Right? Bless the Lord, all you, His hosts. It's you. God's got a word for you. God's saying, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I remind you of the scripture we just read. Bless the Lord and forget. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Forget none of His benefit. When we bless the Lord, we won't forget. God says, bless me. If you'll bless me, you won't forget me. Bless me and you will remember. I will put them on the forefront. So it ties in with this idea. David says, I will awaken the dawn. So if you will, turn with me back to Psalm 108. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we give glory to You. We ask You, Lord, cause Your word just to minister to us and come alive to us. Lord, cause us to take from this truth, Lord, awakening the dawn, and help us, Lord, to implement it into our life. Lord, cause us to be a people who will be found there early and often blessing Your name. That, Lord, we might not forget all the good things that You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. That word, when I read it, you know, God says, you, His servants, who I'm telling you, don't forget, you bless the Lord, all you, His hosts, all you. God's saying, bless me now, bless me. There's a word in there, we'll get back to it in just a minute, about sovereignty. You know, it says that God was over, He was sovereign. Back in 103, sovereign over all the universe. I think it's important. You know, when I hear that word sovereign, I hear the word dominion. He rules. That's why He says, bless me. Bless me because I rule. I am who I am. And if you and I learn to bless Him, we're bringing His rule and His authority right into that place, into dominion, taking dominion. That means I'm ruling well over what, I think I heard Frank say that. This thing, God's wanting you to rule well over that. Take dominion. What He's given you to possess, take it. We're sometimes, I heard this week, sometimes, what was the word He used? He didn't say weak Christians. Sometimes wimps. Sometimes we're just kind of rather wimpy in regard to our faith. And God says, I want you to bless me and you won't be so wimpy. That might be a good way of putting that. Bless me, He says. I'm trying to read my writing when I wrote. But I want to read Psalm 108, verse 2. It says this. Awake, harp. Back up one verse. Psalm 108, 1. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing. I will sing praises. Look, even with my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Did we hear that? I will sing praises even with my soul. That means something down, real down deep. Is gonna praise Him. It's gonna bless Him. That I can't help but believe that's the Spirit of God coming down deep to everything I am. That speaks of dominion. Coming down deep, bless the Lord, even with my soul. Even with the deepest parts of my being, I'm gonna sing praises even with my soul. Awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. I will awaken the dawn. David says, I will awaken the dawn. You know, I don't know, that means a lot of things. We'll look at some of those things, but one thing it means, not the least of which, is early. I will awaken the dawn. It's going to be early, right? Early. God says early. Come to me early. Come bless me early. It starts early, and I hear something tangible, something praiseworthy. Praiseworthy. It's musical. It's singing with my heart. It's awake, harp, lyre. I'm gonna sing, David says. Turn, if you will. Try to get this in a little bit better position. Turn one other place I want you to go to. We'll kind of float back and forth between these two places. 108. Turn to Psalm 57. Psalm 57, verse 7. David says virtually the same thing. My heart is steadfast. We heard that in verse 1 of 108. He says it again, verse 7. The reason I say it is because there's two places here where he says, I'm going to awaken the dawn. My heart's steadfast, O God, verse 7 says. My heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. Awake my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. What's David doing? I will awaken the dawn. You know, there were... David's in a place. He He stands in a position that's very important for us to consider. David was the one who was the coming king. He had a kingdom to possess, but it not yet. You know what I'm saying? And yet he has a position before the people that others depended on his life. Others depended on his readiness. Others depended on his testimony. And I think he's a perfect picture of what God says, I want to do in your life. Others are dependent on what comes forth from your life. Others are dependent upon your testimony. I've heard some testimonies this week. You know, nothing blesses me more than testimonies. I would rather come to church on a Sunday morning and having had something to prepare, because I believe God wants to share the word with people. I would rather have testimonies of something that God is doing. It just be like a one thing right after the other, spontaneous. God was really doing something. I'd rather hear that, and then we could just quit and go home, because I would be greatly blessed in that situation. Those who rise to awaken the dawn are people who have gotten their heart and face fixed. That's the first thing I want you to get. I have three real short, simple points. It's simple. I just tend to make it long and complicated. So we may not get out of here for a long time. But anyway, I'm kidding. Those who rise to awaken the dawn have got their heart and face fixed. Fixed. You know, I love that little illustration. Frank said, "If you got a hand, raise your hand. You know, raise your hand. Oh, you all had free will, right? And every one of you raised your hand if you want." And I thought, you know, we all got free will, but what I've witnessed about some folks in my own life, boy, there's some sure stubborn folks. Stubborn, hard-hearted, stubborn. You just need to get before God and begin asking Him to change your stubborn heart. Change the willingness and the stubbornness to cause you to be willing. Give me a heart, God, that's willing. Those who rise to awaken the dawn have gotten their heart and face fixed. They fix their face. You wouldn't think, ladies, you wouldn't go out without fixing your face. Men, those of you who've played sports, you wouldn't think about going to the game without having fixed your face. You get your game face on. That's what they used to say. Get your game face on. You better get serious. You better think. You know, really, I rather think that's what God's trying to say to us in these days and times. You better get serious. You know, it's time to quit playing around and going around the mountain. God says, I want you to get serious. I want you to come to bless me and learn to awaken the dawn early and often. I mean, get your tambourine out. I mean, you know, it's okay if you glory, the song that you had in your heart, glory to God that you sing it. Glory to God that you got the courage to stand up and speak it. We're lacking for courage in the body of Christ. We're worried about folks, what folks would think. Oh, that might embarrass some. That might embarrass me. Oh, I feel so. You know, you need to get over yourself if God's going to use you. And when you get over yourself, God will use you. You know, I'm always amazed people say, well, I'm so shy. Oh, gosh, get over yourself. Just God wants to use you. God wants to speak to you. Those who awaken, they've got their heart and their face fixed. You know, David, it's interesting, is why I had you turn to Psalm 57 here. David is a place, this is a prayer, you might say, for rescue. Do you realize David has just come from the cave with Saul? He's being chased by his enemies and persecutors, and he's just come from the experience of the cave. And he says, after, I guess, or during, or I'm not sure the exact moment in time, but nonetheless, it's the cave time. He's in the cave, out of the cave. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I'll sing? Yes, I'll sing praise. Awake, my glory, awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I'm going to give somebody some praise. I'm going to give God some glory. I'm going to declare what wonderful things and His benefits to me. You know, I think David had just come from a place of seeing God's great benefit. You want to wake the dawn. And he's being, and it's interesting. He says, you know, God says, I want to fix your heart, even at a place that the King James uses the word fix. The New American says, my heart is steadfast. If you see in verse 7, Psalm 57, 7, my heart is steadfast. The King James uses the word fixed. My heart is fixed. Those who awaken have their heart and their face fixed. It's fixed. God's fixed it. How? Because of their experiences, but they were the experiences in the face of their enemies. You recognize that? God wants to work you through an experience with Him in the face of your enemy that declares His benefit. God says, will you bless me? I want you to come and bless me. Bless me and I'll set you free. Bless me and you'll escape. David's at a place of great escape. He just witnessed God's escape hatch, God's escape plan for his life. You know, when you learn God has an escape plan for your life, you and I won't. In other words, the first thing out of our mouth won't necessarily to be say, "Oh God, get me out." It'd just be, "Oh God, I'm glorifying Your name for what it is I've witnessed. You can and have the power to do. I'm just going to stand and watch and see what You do." God says, "I want you to bless me." Those who awake and have their heart and face fixed. You know, I think it's because it's not without a measure of excitement, enthusiasm that David says this. I don't think he's just starting flat-footed, is what I'm trying to say. He's not saying, "Well, I'm flat-footed. I'm gonna get the tambourine out, and I'm gonna early in the morning. I'm gonna awaken the dawn." I think there's a measure of some excitement and enthusiasm in his life. He's experienced God, and I think experience shapes our interpretation. You agree with that? Experience shapes interpretation. I believe that's true, or lack thereof. Too many of us are thinking, "Well, I don't believe God with this. Well, I don't believe God with that." Well, how much have you walked with Him today? How much did you bless Him today? How much did you declare? How have you walked with Him today? Because, you know, sometimes I'm finding experience for... Let me give you just for example. We were building a shower the other day. I haven't really done this. We watched the video, you know. We watched the video on how to build a shower. One guy that has had about 30 years worth of construction experience, and I have enough to kind of, when I think, say to him, "I'm sort of getting the mind of a carpenter," he looks at me like I'm crazy because he knows it ain't so. But we watched the video and we saw how to build this shower. We're talking build it up from scratch. You know, we pour the mortar, the mortar base, and put the liner in, put another mortar base and tile it. We just built it up from scratch. You know, we watched the video. We made our plan. But in all of that understanding and trying to gain the knowledge and insight on it, there's just something that you just that experience. That, in other words, it's something you just can't be taught except you experience it. You know what I'm saying? When you get in there, you realize there were some things that sort of had to change, some things had to move, and we didn't know until we got there. I had to experience it. So it's one thing. You know, I'm always amazed that sometimes we do that with God. You know, my son-in-law is learning to fly a plane for the military. He's learning to fly. He's got his wings to fly. But sometimes we liken our experience with God as kind of like some classroom kind of deal, where you can go to class, you get the certificate, you know, he's got his wings, and he knows, I mean, he's learning about all there is to know about that plane, why it flies and what makes it fly and all of the particulars. But sometimes we do God that way. We think we can come like the classroom, we can just gain all this knowledge and insight, and boy, you know, we really got it. We need a badge or something. But the truth is, even when you got all of that, you can't sit on it. When you get all of that, you're a fool if you stop there. If you get all of that, God says, "I want you to experience me, because you've got some understanding and a plan. But if you don't walk it out with me, you never get to the place. You'll never get to that moment where my spirit kicks in and says, 'Now here's what you do. Now here's some learning that all of your learning can't teach you.'" God's saying, I want you to come to rise early and often, to awaken the dawn and bless me so that I might fix your heart. David said, "My heart's steadfast." I've witnessed God do some things in my life that He took me through. I mean, to think His learning would say, "Well, you know, if he didn't really sign up to be king, but I suppose if he was signing up to be king, if he'd have been told he'd had a wilderness experience and come near death a few times, he might have just opted to say, 'You know what, I think not. I think I'll just stay with the sheep.'" But God says, "I want you to experience me. I want you to experience me, so that you might interpret." God says, "I want to remove in this place your selfishness, your self-centered kinds of things, your fears, your inability." You know, there's a place in the. I guess what I'm trying to say is that knowing God is not in mere study alone. I think that's why Paul said that, you know, in Philippians 3, that there were those who were enemies of the cross. They had knowledge of God, but why were they enemies? They were failing to carry the cross. They were failing to crucify the flesh. They were failing to reckoning themselves dead. And for that, you need a walk. For that, you've got to have a day-to-day experience. For that, you've got to be walking and working it out. I think there were some who were just willing to rest on their laurels and what they knew, and were not willing to work it out. You know, God says, "I want you to work it out. I want you to wake in the dawn. I want you to come bless me. I want you to work this thing out. I give you an opportunity to. It's a privilege to come into my presence, where my power." I feel like the Lord said the other day, "Power. You're going to have to find power in prayer. You're going to have to hear my voice in prayer. You're going to have to hear from me. You're going to have to hear me say, 'This is the way. Walk in it.'" And knowledge and all the book learning can't teach that. You're going to have to walk with me, so that I can free you from yourself. Focus your fears and your... I said the other day, I woke up one morning here. God had shown me, "You know, Kyle, you've been so party to the spirit of fear. God's not giving you that. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He does not give you a spirit of fear. He gives you love, power. He gives you sound thinking. He gives you steadfastness. My heart is steadfast. I'm fixed like a rock. That's what God wants to do. That's the one thing that blesses me in some of the message I've heard. God wants to fix your face like flint. He wants to fix your heart so that you might could accomplish His plan and His purpose. Walk with me. You know, there's a place where God wants to take your fears and your inability. There's a place where His ability overtakes my inability. There's a place where, you know, there's a place in worship. I mean, sometimes I experience that in worship, not always. But when I don't experience His presence, you know what I got? I got some, in spite of what you may say or not, I got some real limited abilities in some things here going on. It's trying to get there, but it's missing the mark. But if God doesn't show up, there's a place where in my inability, God's ability has to overtake it and come through. That's the part God wants me to experience. Those who rise to awaken the dawn have gotten their heart and their face fixed. A place where God removes my fears and my ability and He speaks to me. And the power of God can come change my life so that I don't feel inferior. I'm not ruled and driven by my fears. He's exposed those fears. He's exposed. You know, I think David's at a vulnerable place. He was in the cave with his back against the wall, Saul's men coming in. And, you know, it'd have been over with right then if he hadn't seen God's power. I think he was at a place, you might say, of recognizing. David was at a place, you know, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Is that right? God has the ability. You know, was it Joseph? He was the interpreter of dreams. And they dream up out of prison to get him. We heard you can interpret. God. He's got the. I've lived long enough to say God. He's got the interpretation. I'm just here. I'm carrying the water. That's all. That's all I'm doing is carrying the water. You know, David was witnessing what God did, and it changed him. You need to witness what God wants to do in your life so that it changes you. So that your life is marked by His power. Your life is marked by His voice. Your life is marked. Your fears are overshadowed by His greatness and His ability. I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. And don't say I'm trying to put myself down. Sometimes people say that. I'm just being honest. I had a guy helping me with sound in our church. And he said something about a good guitar player. And I said, yeah, I know. And when he comes in the room, I know him. And we both know which one it is. And it's not me. You know what I'm saying? If it were up to playing the guitar, listen, I wouldn't stand before you. If it's a matter of a performance, because I'm going to tell you something. I know some guys that can play the guitar. And I'm far off the mark. I know some people that can really play. And I'm far off the mark. But the point is, you know, if it was for that, I wouldn't do it. But for God's presence, it's worth it. For God's presence to come, it's worth sometimes my fumbling around. Sometimes there's some days I'm thinking I just want to go home. I just want to think, Lord, why do I do this? You know, I mean, I need Your presence, because if You don't show up, it's just a worthless endeavor. I mean, we can turn the radio on. We've gotten to the place sometimes we can turn the radio on and really get. You want perfection? Turn the radio on, boy. I mean, that's a hard standard to measure up to. It keeps you from singing in church. Sad to say, keep you from singing. Keep you from getting up and sharing. I used to have this lady, she would just stand up. She'd say, can I sing a song? Yeah. She'd sing a song. She'd sing. You know? Glory to God. Somebody had the courage to stand up. Glory to God. Somebody's got to say, I've got a witness. I've got the courage to stand. And it's got to be God. I don't mean you just stand up and just do, you know. That's not what I'm advocating. I'm advocating you hear from God and you do what God tells you. But it's not about you. It's all about giving Him glory. And when you get there, some folks are going to get touched. Some people's hearts are going to be touched. Those who waken dawn, they get their face fixed. They recognize. You know, David was there witnessing Saul's heart and demeanor change right before his very eyes. He witnessed what God did. Some said, kill him. Remember, he's in the cave. Some came in the cave and those with David said, hey, this is it. God's given him to your hand. Kill him. Take his life. No, he doesn't. And as Saul exits the cave, David lifts his voice and he appeals to him as a father. God touches his heart. Saul can do him no harm. Saul can do him no wrong. As a matter of fact, he speaks back a blessing to him. David saw the mighty thing God did in his life. You think God wants to do that in your life? God says, if you bless me, I'll prove myself to you. If you bless me, I'll prove myself to you in ways that you can't get your mind around. My heart is steadfast. You know, Frank, I keep mentioning Frank. I don't see him here. It's probably a good thing. You know, I knew I was telling all this stuff on him. But you know, when I went in, I'd never met Frank, but I'd heard a little bit about him. Never met him, and he was in the room next to me But when I got in, I didn't meet him. I didn't see his face or anything. But I hear music playing. I could hear the sound of music, and Julie Andrews was nowhere to be found. You know, no, I heard the sound of music. I mean, and you know, some good music. I don't know if he's just older than me or what, but some songs I never heard. I mean, good songs too. I mean, he wasn't over there boogieing either. I mean, there was no bumping, no boogieing. There was music, and it was sweet sound. It was beautiful sound. Some had some rhythm that went back and forth. But I'm songs I'd never heard. Man, I wanted to listen to that. I almost wanted to get in the bathtub where I was a little closer. You know, I could really, really put my ear and take some of that in. But you know what I knew about him? He's a worshiper. He wants the presence of God. I mean, what's he doing all that over there for? What's he playing all that music? Sometimes I don't care to listen to music. I'd rather listen to somebody talking sometimes, you know, than music, sad to say. But I know some guys, they're not going anywhere without turning the music on. But he's playing music. And he's going on. I went to bed last night. He had music playing. He's playing music. Sweet sound. Nothing. I mean, just bless you. I mean, some songs I think, man, I'd written some of them down. I thought, well, I got to learn that one, you know. And I'm typing that in my computer thinking, I'll try to learn that one someplace. Sweet music. Because I was impressed with this about him. I don't know what kind of guy he was before I met him. I didn't know anything about him, but I know he's a worshiper. I know he wants to find himself in the presence of God. Because without the presence, he ain't got very much. But with the presence, David says, early and often I will awake in the dawn because I've seen what God is doing, what God can do, and I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless him. Even with my soul, I'm going to bless him. Awake, harp and lyre. I'm going to give him some praise. God says, I want you to come to me. Those who learn to awaken the dawn, it means when to awaken the dawn means that your deliverance is near. Did you get that? When you can choose against your stubborn will and you can bring yourself to awaken the dawn, it says your deliverance is near. I think David was at a place where he proved that. His deliverance was near. It sounds an alarm to your enemies. Is that right? Praise. I'm going to make some noise up in here. It sounds an alarm to your enemy. You know, someone told me this about fear. I don't know, they sent me an email. It was mom sent me an email about fear, and I liked it. I kept it. But it says, the spirit of fear. You know, a dog can smell fear, and he bites you. You know, some of your horse maybe know something about horses. You've been in the country. I got a little horse, a little pony someone gave me. And I mean, she's just there, you know, but I'm doing good to feed her. I know nothing about her, and we hadn't broken her or anything, you know what I mean? I keep my distance because she knows I'm scared of her, I guess. But a horse, you ever get on a horse? They know if they got a fool. I mean, they know if they got one, you know what I mean? You know, sort of, if they look at one another, I got one today, you know what I mean? They know if you know what you're doing or not. They know how to smell, sense fear. You know, and there's something about the enemy. But there's something about blessing God and learning to come bless Him and awaken the dawn and find ourselves as a matter of practice. You begin to learn what that sounds like. You know what? I believe there's a sound that the enemy recognizes, and it sounds an alarm to your enemies. I live way back in the woods, kind of back in a kind of a... My wife said it was kind of scary back down in there. You know, it's just all way back down in the woods. We got a dog, big black dog, you know, and he barks sometimes. He's not too vicious. But he may bark as a sound of the enemy. That sound you hear may be the last thing you hear before you're about to get shot. You know what I'm saying? If you back up in there where you're not supposed to be. You know, I'm joking. But I got a few stories I could tell on mom, but I'm not going to do that here. You know, say, Mom, what you shooting at? You know, someone said that they heard some shots going out, rang out her back door. Somebody was shooting about 3 o'clock. Was it coming from over there? Mom, what was she shooting at? I said, I don't know what she was shooting at. At 3 o'clock in the morning, it wasn't what. It was who, perhaps. I don't think it was coming from her house. But anyway, we had a good laugh about that. Those who awaken the dawn, it sounds alarm to your enemies. You know, it says that a deliverance draws near. And I want you to get that. Look at Psalm, look at 108, verse 5. 108, back, if you will, verse 5. He says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Be exalted." Now remember, he's just said, "Awake, harp and lyre, I'll awaken the dawn. I'll give thanks to you, for your loving kindness is great. Your truth reaches to the skies." Verse 5. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above the earth." He's talking about dominion there, whether you care to receive it. He's talking about dominion. Be exalted, because we just read a scripture in 103. You go back and read it. Psalm 103. That scripture he read, it was about God. What's the word it uses? Sovereign. Means he takes dominion. He has dominion over it all. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered." that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and answer me. He's talking about deliverance. That your beloved may be delivered. Lord, I'm gonna declare. I'm gonna bless your name that you might awaken the dawn that deliverance would draw near. Deliverance depends upon your praise. Deliverance depends upon your praise, your willingness to praise Him. Deliverance. Wasn't that true? I mean, Paul and Silas proved that, right? About midnight, they began to sing, and their shackles fell off and the prisons were open. You know what I'm saying? In other words, that's a perfect picture. If you need others, there are plenty of others, but you don't need any more than that. It's a perfect picture that praise comes before deliverance. You know, David said, "I'm going to those who raise and awaken the dawn. Your deliverance draws near," because David knew the place of safety. You know, that cave, I think, was a safe place, wouldn't you say? For David, his testimony, his experience was that the cave was a safe place. It's okay. God made it a safe place. Deliverance depends on praise. Praise comes from the heart. But it depends on God's glory. We read, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered." Look at verse 12 and 13 of Psalm 108, same chapter. "Oh, give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man's in vain." Well, if deliverance by man's in vain, why would you go to anybody else? Why would you bless anybody else? Why would you give preference to anybody else? God says, "You better give me preference. You better let me come ahead of everything." You know, when we let God come ahead of everything, we recognize who is our deliverer. Verse 13 says, "For God, through God we shall do valiantly, and it's He who will tread down our adversaries." In the face of your accusers, that blessing the Lord early and often says deliverance is drawing near. It's a place in God. There's a place in God's presence. You know, that's why He says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heaven, and your glory above the earth." I believe that glory has a lot to do with revealing some things. Glory. God, your glory. Let it take charge. Let it take dominion. Let your glory be exalted above the heavens and your glory above all the earth. In other words, that you above all rule and authority, you take dominion. Your glory. Your glory speaks of the truth. When it shines on me, it says who I am. It speaks the truth of who I am. It reveals intentions. It reveals motives. It reveals, exposes the strategy of the enemy. Is that right? It's a place, you know, there's a place in God's presence that the enemy cannot stand. It won't stand. I think David witnessed that. The word that the New Living Translation uses in Psalm 1, where he says, and it's the same over, I believe, over in Psalm 57. But look at verse 1, where it says, "My heart is steadfast." I want to draw your attention to that word again, because I think it's fair to translate that word confidence. The New Living says that my heart is confident. New American, I think, says steadfast. King James says I'm fixed. Nonetheless, I'm fixed. I'm steadfast. I'm confident. We've heard a message about God's trying to bring confidence in your life. He's trying to say, "I want to bring confidence in your life through blessing. Bless me, and learn." Confidence is a place of, I would care to, confidence is faith. All right? It's evidence. It's faith. It's substance. Confidence. It's faith. Courage. It's a place to courage. After listening to the word that we've heard the past number of days, I'm blessed to say, God says, get over yourself and take some courage. Raise up, believe me, to do some things in your life. Take courage. David said, "I'm steadfastly going to give blessing to God because it means my deliverance is drawing near. And when I get a hold of this, to awaken the dawn means I'm going to make it a public matter. I'm going to get over myself and I'm going to make this a public matter." David says that. "Awaken, harp and lyre, awaken the dawn." Verse 3 says, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples." I recognize, God, you've given me a position. There are people watching my life. I'm going to give praise to you. I'm going to give blessing to you. And it's going to be a matter of public concern. I'm going to share my gift. I wanted to say I won't go there. Yeah, I will. God says, those who awaken the dawn. God wants to make public through some things in your life. Back to that deliverance. I don't want to get away from that just yet. You know, God says that, Mom said the other day that God inhabits our praises. She shared that scripture. And then she said, made a scripture, I don't forget exactly where it said, but it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, right? They're mighty through God. They're not carnal. They're mighty through God. So that says that you and I need to learn to use those weapons. You know, my son-in-law is learning to fly. He's learned to fly, but now he's learning a whole other deal, whole other system, how to shoot the weapons. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I mean? He just don't want you flying around. I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of dollars it costs to fly that thing for an hour and a half. You know, you can fly however long it lets you fly. Fly. Well, they didn't just flying around. They're armed. They're armed and dangerous. They're armed and he showed me a gun. He showed me this big gun. It's got this big thing. It's got these big motors and it thing sits up in there. And I hope I'm not giving away any big secrets. It shoots some bullets about as big around as a quarter. I mean, just huge. He says this thing has 500 rounds and in 5 seconds it's all gone. You pull a trigger one time, that's 100 rounds. 1 second, 100 rounds. I mean, it's hard to believe this thing can move that fast with bullets that are about that big around and however long they are. 100 rounds a second. 5 seconds, they're all gone. 500 rounds. So, I think it's amazing. Armed. That was just one. That's sort of the last deal, you know. That was sort of a, you know, just in case kind of thing. There are a whole lot of other things and weapons systems. But I think the Lord would say, but your weapons aren't like that. They're not carnal, you know. I don't know. I have to catch myself sometimes. You know that guy thing. You know that you want to be that real. But you know God doesn't need your ability. And when he wants you to stand, God's made men to want to lead and to stand. And He says, stand. Be strong men. But not like what we think strong. You know, we're ready to fight. But God said, no. Why don't you be ready to fight, but engage in this spiritual warfare that your weapons aren't carnal, but they're mighty. Come bless me. Come bless me. And I'll arm you. Come bless me, and I'll arm you with my word. I love what Frank said last night. You know, God's not looking for you. You know, sometimes we think, well, we get to be really good in the word. I'm going to rightly divide the word. I'm just going to hey, just open your mouth. God's going to bring to your remembrance all the things that He's already put in your heart. If you and I would come to bless Him as a regular on basis to awaken the dawn, God's just going to fill you up. Because if you don't have it in your heart anyway, what's the use? You know what I mean? I mean, I've been there too. I struggle there, to be quite honest, sometimes. You know, I got it all in my head. Okay, now God says, I need it in your heart. I don't need it in your head. I need it in your heart. And when it's in your heart, what's in your heart? Open your mouth. I'm going to have faith in that heart. And I'm just going to tell you, you're not going to be afraid. I'll open my mouth. God will be filled. I know because how do I know that? Because He's proven Himself. I can say that. Enough. I can say that. God's shown up enough times to where I'm, you know. There are times I go to, I come Sunday morning and I may not have a message. And I'm like, well, okay. You know, there have been some times where I had no message and I felt so empty. And I opened my mouth and it's like, man, you know, if you're not careful, you get to think, why do you do that every week? And, you know, you don't prepare, you know what I mean? You just kind of just slide in there and just hope God's going to give you something. You know, I think it comes from preparing our heart here in this place, like David. I'm going to awaken it. God, I've seen you do some things that have just blown me away. I'm going to rather just learn to kind of just trust you, you know. If I learn to trust you, well, I got a mighty somebody working in my corner. I'm going to bless you. You have the power of release. You have the power to release the enemy. I've seen you in an instant change, so then why would I fear? Why would I fear this situation or that situation? Why would I fear not knowing? I'm just going to work in faith. Lord, if I hear what you're saying, that's enough for me. That's all I need. Sometimes all I need is a word. You know? Sometimes all I need is a word that I believe is God. I believe this word was for you this morning. And I felt very clearly about it. That there could have been other things, but I felt very strongly about this thought. God says, I want you to awaken the dawn. I want you to bless me. You want my benefits? You better not forget. And you better bless me or you're going to forget. You turn your attention to something else because you thought it was greater. You thought it was more important. God says, no, nothing's more important than me and nothing has the power to save or deliver. You want deliverance? You better learn to bless me. You better learn. You know, I heard, what was it? That said about Derek Prince. He said deliverance. I've heard someone say it, I think, this week, weekend. Deliverance is easier to come by than, you know, keeping that thing. Keeping that intact is a whole different kind of deal. That's the bless me part, God's saying. That's the bless me part. You want to hang on to me? You want to not forget? God says, come bless me. Come hold on to me. Those who awaken the dawn, back to this. God says, before I get in, I'm going to move to close before too long. Sure. No, I'm kidding. Psalm 57:9. I'm going to praise you among the people. It's God wants to make it a public matter. And it's why it's so vitally important that God raise up men and women of courage, of faith, of believing Him to do something and daring to believe that I open my mouth, He's going to fill it. If I open my mouth on the job or I listen to get sensitive to Him to speak and to open my mouth on who He would have me, He's going to fill it. He's going to cause my life to show forth His purpose. It's why it's so vitally important that you and I don't go around the mountain again. I just don't think there's... I think we're kind of drawing to a point in time where I think He's saying for all of us in the body of Christ, I think in our country in particular, it's time to quit going around the mountain again. I heard a report, it was just last night on a news, national news thing. I went to get something to drink and I came back and I heard just a news report, and the news report was something like, it made a comment. I'm thinking, it said over in Iran there was a pastor being persecuted. This is in Iran. He was being persecuted. I think he had been Muslim, but he converted, and so he was an apostate. And they put him in jail for a number of years, and they were going had a death sentence on him. And they said that he was sort of an outgrowth, or he was part of a growing home church movement. It's become very popular among Christians and evangelicals and anything like that. A home church movement. And I thought, man, things are there, and God's moving in a home church kinds of thing, you know. You know, some of you, I've heard some people say, "Well, we just can't find a church." I don't know, but maybe some of you have a place. But the truth is, my experience is that sometimes when something's happening far off on the fringe, you ever heard that? Sometimes New York and Los Angeles, you know, it's all the crazy things happening there, but they finally make their way, you know what I mean, to the middle of the country. You ever heard that? It's true. You know, fashion it makes its way. You know what I mean? Because slowly, it's a slow progression. With media and stuff, it's been faster than in the old days, but. Nonetheless, sometimes when something happens on the far fringe, it ain't far before that show's playing in your house and your town. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm trying to say is, here they are. We're seeing in Iran things that are happening. I'm going to tell you something. I believe we're in for a day, and it's time to be serious and quit going around the mountain and begin to say, that's what I'm hearing you. I'll be about the purpose. Rise up with some courage and some faith and believe God, to stand to believe God, that God could heal a life through your life. God could touch a life and a somebody through who you are. He ain't using anybody else, probably. He's going to use, he wants to use you on the people that you got the most impact. I mean, I heard the testimony. I'm so thankful for your testimony about your father and your mother. Glory to God for someone to get, you know, that's a high honor for someone, for a father to have that said about their life. Glory to God. God says, I want you to bless me. Sometimes we pay high honor to men. I kind of find myself, you know, saying this about Frank. And I'm thinking, boy, I'd sure like to walk around with him for about a week. You know what I mean? I might get some of that on me. You know. The truth is, I think he'd say, you know, you don't need me. God says, you don't need Frank. You need Jesus. What about me? Bless me. Bless me. Give glory to me. I have the power to set you free. I have the power to do remarkable things in your life. Bless me. You're going to have to share your faith, because those who awaken the dawn, they will make it a public matter. They will recognize, oh, I have a responsibility. I have a charge. I have a call. I have a call. The New Testament says you have a high call. You have a high call. I have a high call. It's a high calling in Christ. And He says, I want you to come bless me so that you don't forget my benefits, so that I do some great things in your life. And I use your life to be a public matter, to bless others. Turn back with me, if you will, back in 103. Turn back to Psalm 103. I want to read something. We read it, but I want to read it again. And I don't intend to be too much longer, because I know lunch is coming. But Psalm 103, and he says, I believe that's about verse 19 I've written down. I want you to hear dominion. There's something that God wants to declare. That's why this blessing Him, that's why coming early and often, it's important, because it takes dominion. It says, the Lord has established His thrones in the heavens, and His authority rules over all. Didn't leave anything out, as I can tell. His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, all you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, who serve Him, doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you works of His, verse 22 says, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless Him. You know, if you've come to Jesus, I would say He bought you with the price. And he told you to possess what he gave to you. And the verse says, he's given to you and me everything pertaining to life and godliness. Like 1st or 2nd Peter. He's given it all to you. I mean, he's given it all, but he says, you're going to have to come. You're going to have to come get it. You're going to have to come bless me. You're going to have to take hold of what it is and stand and declare and make a claim on what it is I've given you so that you could access that. You know, those who awaken the dawn will make a claim on this and they'll take dominion. I had a guy in my church and he's concerned for a child. God gave him a scripture. He sent me a scripture. It was about God. It was about the claim he's got. He's got a case before God right now pending. But he's going to continue to make that claim that God, you're going to redeem. You're going to restore. And I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to let it go because it's your will that you redeem. That's your whole point and purpose is to redeem. God wants to use your life to make his glory a public matter. To expose the plan of the enemy and the taunt of the enemy. God says expose that. Let it be exposed. And I want you because those who are fixed and have their face fixed, their deliverance draws near. And they will make it public. I think the Lord's saying if you're going to make it public, you're going to have to let go of yourself a little bit. I think David was willing to do that. You're going to have to let go of yourself a little bit. David was a man who certainly demonstrated that. You know, if you're going to praise God, if you're going to bless His name, you're going to have to let go of yourself a little bit or a whole lot. You know, the Bible says that gift makes room for Him. You know that you know what blesses me. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, when we're worshiping the Lord, and I usually try to have my eyes closed or I'm looking down. So I'm not really, I probably should be more attentive, but my ear, I'm hearing. Sometimes we kind of go in just where, you know, just a few little chords going, and maybe somebody's just praising. We're all just praising the Lord as we would. I hear somebody out of the corner of my ear. I think it's Richard, really. And I don't mean to single him out. I do mean to single him out in a sense. But my ear hears, and I'm just almost certain it's Richard. I've got a pastor that I served with in Kentucky a number of years ago, and he kind of reminds me of Richard. You know, he's a worshiper. I think I hear Richard out of the corner of my ear. I hear him just worshiping God with all he's got, with what he's got to offer. He's giving God glory. You know, you're gonna have to lose yourself a little bit. You're gonna have to lose yourself a little bit, a lot. Those who awaken the dawn, they're willing to make it public. They're willing to be public. They're willing to give a testimony. They're willing to praise Him. And God will use that. Sometimes I think, you know, we tend to think that you know, just it's just being about being a good musician. Or David was, you know, he was there with you know, they put him in front of Saul because he was a skillful. The Bible says he was a skillful player of the harp. He could skillfully play, but that wasn't all why he was there. I had something to do with it, I suppose. But the real truth is that God showed up. He was a worshiper. He knew who God was. He had a relationship with God. He had something in his life that Saul was lacking. He had something in his life that Saul sorely missed. And what was it? It was boldness. He was willing to take what it was that God was going to give to him. I declared him to be king. He's going to take that. He's going to keep walking, working with God, seeing God's benefits and His deliverance, even in the wilderness, even in the face of his enemies. And he would continue to boldly declare what God said. He would continue to declare in boldness what God would have for his life. You know, that was the one difference between the two kings. I heard a guy say recently, and I'm moving to a close. I heard a guy say recently a lot of different things about some spirit, different spirits that were Saul was about. And I don't disagree with those things. They were very good points. But you know Saul's big problem? The biggest problem, I think? He had a spirit of fear. He was timid. You know how I know that? He was behind the baggage. There's one telling thing. You know, he's behind the baggage. You know, they're going to make him king. He's head and shoulders, and he's hiding. He's got a spirit of fear in his life. A spirit of fear in his life. Saul was not one who officiated. You know, he was always consulting and consorting with somebody other than God. Right? I mean, he's always, you know, get Samuel. Got to have Samuel. Or he was going to go ahead of Samuel. But boy, he had to have Samuel. Or he'd consult with the witch. Or he had to have David to play to make the evil spirit go away. He had to have somebody. There was a spirit of fear in his life. Timidity. God has not given you a spirit of fear, timidity. But a spirit of love, a spirit of power, a spirit of sound mind, sound thinking. Spirit of fear is huge. You can say, well, there were a whole bunch of other things. Oh, I don't dispute that whatsoever. But a spirit of fear is huge. Huge. I don't know at all how that thing works, okay? But I can tell you, the spirit of fear, God says, I hadn't given you that. I have not given you a spirit of fear, because it'll hinder your faith. It'll destroy your testimony before men. It'll destroy everything I want to do in your life. It will keep you locked out going around the mountain again. Round the mountain, when I said all these things, I'm telling you, take dominion over and bless me over, because they're yours. Bless me over. God says, bless me. Today I want you to stand up, and I want, just as a way of close, I want you to lift your hands, and I want to say, God, remove the spirit of fear. It's so huge, I don't even begin to know all, but God says there's a spirit of fear that I want to deal with. Naaman received a miracle, right? We heard that last night. How did he receive a miracle? He was just obedient. He was obedient to do the simple thing that was asked. I'm asking you to raise your hand. He was simple obedience. Naaman got a miracle. What about you? So what's wrong with you? I think God says, I want to give to you. I think we heard that in the brother's song. He'll do it for you. God says, I want you to take it and let God remove it. Let's make a claim on Him. Okay, can we do that? Lord, we just bless you. We thank you. We ask you in Jesus' name. Expose the spirit of fear, how it operates in our life, how it's hindered our life, how it's hindered our testimony. Lord, we thank you that you have exposed it. And right now we release it. We want it off of us. We want to bless you. We bless you and we praise you, Lord. We give thanks and praise. Lord, I pray you would release on us, Lord, your blessing. I pray that, Lord, that in Jesus' name, just let me pray right now. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you, Lord, for every raised hand. Lord, we give thanks to you. We thank you that, Lord, you're the deliverer. And we give praise to you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you. And we cast it off. Lord, your word, I believe, says, shake it off. I want you to stand. I want you to stand up. I want you to find courage. I want you to find boldness. And Lord, right now, I pray you release in our life the spirit of boldness. Not the timid spirit. We cast that off in Jesus' name. And we receive the spirit of boldness that gives us sound mind, sound thinking. It brings exposure to our life in such a way that it goes right down deep to our soul and it exposes the plan of the enemy. It exposes your plan and creates an arming in our life and an awareness in our life of what it is you want to do through our life. And an ability, Lord, that it transcends our inability and our fear. We thank you that you do that for our life. We ask you in Jesus' name, would you do that for us? We receive that in Jesus' name. We receive your spirit of boldness. We receive, Lord, and we just thank you. Lord, I pray that, Lord, for each person, Lord, when we come to your place in bless your name. When we come, Lord, to awaken the dawn and bless your name, I pray you'd pour back into us, Lord. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Lord, beyond what we could think or ask, I ask you to do that for our life. Lord, I pray for a blessing, Lord, to be poured in the lap of each person that will come and rise early. I pray for that blessing to be poured out upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we just thank you for we thank you, Father. Glory, just give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for the dinner. We thank you for every hand that prepared it. We thank you for your blessing. Bless our fellowship. And in your name, Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.